could you just give us a little insight into actually what planning the planning office actually did?
Well, you, I got mostly involved with the spares orders, and it was making sure that the material you obviously were issued with a parts list and a drawing, and you then had to decide the process of producing that item, whether it was ordering material, which was a suitable size to make that item, and then the stages in which, because there would be a number of operations required. There could be machining in the form of on the lathe. There could then be milling and drilling. So, and it was a case of getting all those processes in the right order. So, so that you eventually ended up with the article that you was required. You also had to give each operation, each process, a time to enable the person who was going to carry out the work, give them a target to aim for. Besides there being a process, you had to calculate the time required for the machine to machinist or the turner to complete the work.
Okay, thank you very much. That's quite a detailed explanation. Peter, during your apprenticeship, did you have to attend technical college?
Yes, I attended Gloucester Tech and did a workshop. A workshop qualification in the City and Guilds, and also I did a technician's course as well, again a City and Guilds.
So you were having a busy time going to technical college. Was that a day release, or was that evenings?
It was a day release and evenings, and there were a number of occasions when we had a what they call a block release for a week or more, where you concentrated purely on the theoretical side of the course.
So obviously those were busy years. During those years, did you for sort of means of relaxation, did you get involved in any of the social activities at Fieldings?
Well, before I started at Fieldings, I was quite a keen fisherman, and it was something that gave me the opportunity to get out in the countryside and get away from the working week. And as soon as I joined Fieldings, I soon searched out who was running the angling club and subsequently joined. Brian Caitner was the secretary at the time, and he provided a lot of encouragement as I was a potential younger member, and had the opportunity to travel by coach in those days to the various competitions, and we used to travel to the Bristol Avon and also fish the Thames at Radcot and Lechlade. So those journeys and those trips out gave me the opportunity to make some friends, which became quite a social, a busy social aspect to my angling interest. So, and of course, lots of characters. A lot of people that I've got to know, the characters, got involved with us, and they're people that stick in my memory, even to today. It was quite an experience and quite a great deal of fun hearing the banter that was going on at the time. There was always quite a build up to the week, the Saturday morning that we're all going off fishing, and a lot of pool leg and people guessing who was going to win and what we were using as bait, and it was very much an activity that was looked forward to.
Oh, wonderful. We'll talk a little bit more about the fishing exploits a little bit later on, but just going back to the factory, Peter, you did mention the canteen a little while ago. Did you use it? Can you remember much about what they did and etc.?
I did use it occasionally, more when in the latter years I was at Fieldings. I used it because my parents moved house out to Churchdown, and I used to, rather than cycle home, I used to stay and have some lunch. Yes, I did use it occasionally, and there I remember Mrs. Jones, who was the manageress of the canteen, and of course the food was pretty reasonable. I always used to enjoy my meals when I stayed at work for lunch.
Well, what about during the morning and afternoon breaks? Can you tell us a little bit about what happened then?
Yeah. Both the morning and afternoon breaks were the trolley would come round, and I particularly always used to look forward to Friday, because they how they managed it, I don't know, but some of their cheese cones as they had on the trolley were really top notch. It was quite an important part of the day for some people, particularly when you've in the works. They actually used to stop work for the tea break and coffee breaks.
Can you remember any of the young ladies? I assume they were young ladies who brought the trolleys around. They were obviously very popular, I would imagine.
I have difficulty in recalling their names, but I can picture some of them even now. But apart from them making sure you behaved yourself, they were some the salt of the earth type ladies. They were lovely people.
Wonderful. Right, so we more or less covered your apprenticeship years then, Peter. At the end of the five, it was, I assume it was 5 years, did you go for national service?
No, I didn't go for national service. I think I escaped the call-up by 2 years. So I didn't actually go to national service.
Were you pleased or otherwise?
I think I would have, it would have been something I would have had to have faced along with everybody else. Facing leaving school and going to work with one step, but if national service would have had to been faced. I know that there were some apprentices that after their 5 years left and joined the Merchant Navy. I think Tony Ravenhill actually left and went to and joined the Merchant Navy.
Right, so you're staying at Fieldings. What happened next then, Peter? Can you take me through the following years?
I can, apart from putting dates to it, it's quite difficult, but I spent quite a few years in the planning office, and eventually a vacancy occurred in the estimating department. A gentleman by the name of Bert Sutton came up for retirement, and they were looking for someone to fill the vacancy over in the estimating, so I applied, and I was fortunate enough to get the post. So I moved offices, which was quite quite an experience, because I was moving from the works over to the main offices, and it was a collar and tie job then. So that another move to get used to. But again, there were people in that department that had already been estimators and had moved planners, and had moved into the estimating. So it was a case of meeting up with old friends again. Ted Marshall had been in the planning office and had subsequently moved into the estimating. So I was rejoining him.
Okay, so can you give us an idea of exactly what an estimator did?
Well, whereas the planning office was looking at individual items from the point of view of materials and time to produce, now I was involved in looking at the complete machine, the press itself, and you would receive a weight sheet from the designer, and drawings, outline drawings of what the customer was looking for, and from that you had to compile a list of parts, not down to the minute detail, but the main items, and make inquiries about obtaining large lumps of materials, and also what costs might be involved in machining, perhaps not even at fieldings, depending on sizes. But it was trying to put together the material cost and the labour cost for a piece of equipment or a press that all you had was some very basic general outline drawings and weights.
Okay, thank you for that. Did you travel at all away from the company?
I did occasionally, but not very often. But there was occasional trips away. I went up to Sheffield on a couple of occasions with Roger Beard, when he was sales director. Looking at some of the equipment up there, because we did take on some subcontract work from time to time, and I did travel.
Okay, so you've been in planning, you've been in estimated. Did you ever have to undergo any specialised training along the way? I mean, I think the eve of metrication was with us, if I recall. Did you have to go on any training?
I can't recall any specialist training at that time when the metrication came in. I can only recall having a batch of drawings arrive. They were in metric, and it was a case of adapting to it as best you could. I don't know. There was no particular occasion when I remember any training, no.